Finally, Mr. Marshall, welcome back, and please begin with your testimony.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, I'm Marshall Myers with the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council, a national trade association representing all segments of the pet industry. Conservatively, more than one-third of our nation enjoys non-native species as pets. Apart from dogs, cats, and goldfish, which are exempt under Section 14, virtually every species in those homes falls under the TARP created by H.R. 669. Prior to delving into specific provisions of the bill, I want to state our position to make it abundantly clear. We are not here to debate the invasive species issues. We acknowledge it is a problem. We believe a discussion is needed, however, how to fix the current listing process, find out why it is broken, remove those impediments, be they administrative or statutory, that result in the services taking 4 years on average to assess a single species, and to establish protocols for evaluating first-time introductions of a new species into the United States, rather than turning the whole system upside down. We support the development of strategic risk-based processes to prevent the introductions of invasive species. While we support the intent of H.R. 669, we don't support the approach. Among other things, it fails to be strategic, in that it, one, does not adequately take socioeconomic issues and risk management options clearly into account. Two, the timelines are not achievable given the thousands of species that will need to be assessed. And three, in some instances, it could undermine states' authority to regulate species of concern within their own boundaries that are not harmful in other states, but would be banned under the nationwide ban of a one-size-fits-all approach. Good examples are existing regulatory systems in Florida and Wisconsin. H.R. 669, in our opinion, is set up for failure. It could be a managerial nightmare. How will the service conduct credible risk assessments on some 10,000 species we estimate to be currently in trade? That is not just the pet trade. How will the service meet these statutory deadlines? And upon failure, what are the consequences? Sections 3B, 4 through 10 incorporate subjective, non-scientific risk assessment standard of likelihood for determining the probability that a species will become established, spread, or do no harm. Does likelihood connote some level of probability, a specific statistical term, or is it merely a subjective conclusion that something might establish, spread, cause harm anytime or anywhere in the U.S.? If that probability in science risk-based terms presents a negligible risk, how is it assessed under the likelihood doctrine? Does a positive finding of one or more of the likelihood factors mandate prohibition nationwide? Does this mean that a problematic species for one part of the country or limited ecosystem is banned across the country? A one-size-fits-all approach for all taxa or the entire country could result in virtually no species passing this test. For example, marine organisms would be banned in Kansas because they might become established in Hawaiian waters. Furthermore, if the service is able to complete an assessment of a species, it must then determine whether it goes on the approved list, an unapproved list, or what I have characterized the in limbo or the non-list under Section 4, Paragraph 2C. For those species for which there is insufficient scientific and commercial information to make a determination whether to approve or disapprove. Being in limbo is being tantamount to being unapproved until proven innocent. While proponents argue that the test for listing on the preliminary approved list is less rigorous than the ultimate test for being on the final approved list, we're at a loss to understand how one proves no potential harm under the alleged simplified test when those species also have to pass the more rigorous likelihood criteria to land on the final approved list. It reads like the Internal Revenue Code. Subsequently, if and when the lists are published, will there be any grace period for persons possessing those banned species to revamp their operations and ethically dispose of those animals in their possession? In short, it could facilitate euthanasia or release and introduction and establishment of numerous non-native species, clearly an unintended consequence of this bill. As to deadlines, as indicated by several other witnesses, the prescribed time frames are simply unrealistic. As to prohibitions and penalties, this bill promises that the ability of any person to possess an individual animal will not be impacted. However, that imaginary grandfather clause in Section 3 is virtually ineffective, since it would be illegal to breed, sell, barter, or transport interstate any non-native species that fails to make it to the approved list or remains on the in limbo list. This raises significant issues which will undoubtedly compel millions of frightened people fearing of being considered a criminal under the Lacey Act to abandon or unfortunately kill their pets. And when an owner has to relocate to a new state, this bill tells them, leave your pets behind. Time does not permit delving into the issues with the definitions. PJAC urges revisiting Executive Order 13112 signed by President Clinton and also the National Invasive Species Management Plan for definitions. Because what constitutes historical for native species? Is the cutoff date 1492? The term widespread is used, but it needs to be defined. Is this widespread in the environment or widespread in millions of homes across America? The Secretary is also to exempt domesticated species. That term, domesticated, is a term of art and has no legal definition.